Hey, Kevin.
Hey, host, how are you?
Doing good, craving some bubble tea.
Aren't you always?
Yes, but guess what? Have you ever heard of Buy Me a Cup of Coffee?
No, what's that?
Buy Me a Cup of Coffee is a platform where people who want to support our podcast and our creating can donate $5, $10, or $15. And it's a one-time donation instead of su a subscription. And we can put that money towards our podcast or bubble tea.
I like the idea of listeners who want to support us being able to give us a one-time donation to put things towards our podcast and production, because I think that would increase our production value.
You know what helps production value?
I have a suspicion that you're about to say bubble tea.
Bubble tea.
Okay.
I guess it just depends on how much our listeners love me. You can go to buy me a cup of coffee slash nightmare L6 if, or click on the link below if you guys want to support our production and my addiction.
Oh, I have a feeling our listeners absolutely love you.
About a year ago, everything changed. I must apologize if I sound unsure about the time. We tried to keep track of it, but it's been difficult since we've been 50 feet underground for a long time. If you're listening to this, then that means you're either a survivor or a descendant of those who have survived. If you're a survivor, then that means there's a chance that we're still alive, and if you're listening to this, can contact me on the frequency 14.060. I want to know who is out there. If you're a descendant, then that means we are no longer here. And you're the future of the human civilization. I'm not sure if you've been told the story of what happened, but suddenly, the world was devastated by abnormal weather conditions. Category 5 tornadoes, tidal waves, severe hailstorms, earthquakes. But by far the most devastating was the eruption of several of the world's supervolcanoes. The ash blew into the sky, not only plunging us into a continuous cold, but leaving the world blanketed in darkness. When we emerged from the bunker to see what was left, we learned more than we bargained for. Sit back and let me tell you the story of what came out of the ashes. Out of the Ashes is a epic dark modern fantasy podcast available now on your favorite pod catcher of choice. You can also visit us at outoftheashespodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to Nightmare Lane. Thank you for tuning in. We're so happy to still be here in season one and have you guys listening. So thanks for being here and thanks for tuning in.
Well, hello. It was weak.
It was a little weak. Your voice
You want me to
cracked
try again?
just a little bit. Okay.
Well, hello.
Perfect. What a great welcoming for our spookies.
Yes. Okay. So I'm very excited about today's episode.
Are you?
Yes. This
Great.
one I'm hoping will be like super, super freaky.
Ooh, I'm kind of excited. And also because I can't not put food in my mouth hole.
Better than putting other things in your mouth hole.
Yes.
My dog puts rocks in her mouth hole.
Luckily, I do not suffer from pica.
Good.
So, but I found this app called Wee, and it's Wee with an exclamation mark. And it's like a shopping app, but for Asian food. So instead of having to go to Uijimaes or H Mart, I can just order Asian style snacks and they deliver it.
Yeah, you need to stop shopping
Well, I
because.
haven't anything yet, but it did blow my mind and I got really excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were excited and I'm glad it blew your mind.
You should do it with me, and then it could be one of our Patreon things where we unbox and eat stuff.
That'd be really fun, but like, do people really want to watch or listen to us eat stuff?
We'll mute it when we're chewing. I don't know. It was an idea.
Is an idea. I mean, I'd love to eat stuff with you, but
We should do it off camera if people aren't interested. If they are interested, they can message us and tell us that they are. Or join our Patreon. And when we do a live Q&A, which we'll do quarterly on Patreon, they can ask us about it and tell us that they want us to eat stuff.
okay, but it's not like that, what's that streaming thing where people just sit
It's
there and get
not,
paid to eat?
no, it's
Yeah.
definitely not that.
I'm not going to do fetish stuff, okay?
No, this is not inappropriate.
Okay.
Don't ruin food for me.
I'm just
Gosh.
making it perfectly clear what I'm willing to do.
Just go tell your story. You ruined it. Moving
Okay,
on.
sorry. There's a really great burger place near my house that I just found. It's within walking distance. Oh my God, so good. It's called EJ's Burgers.
Ooh, we're not getting paid to plug any of these people, just FYI.
No, we just love food. Okay, anyway. So today's story, The Sinister Painting, written by Gray La Spina.
Ooh.
The taxi drove off, leaving Funk on the Hoddesdon lawn, surrounded by valises. Funk was thinking it more than merely odd that Barclay, for whose coaching he had come prepared to spend a month, had not met him as planned. He tried the screen door. It was hooked inside. "Hello in there," he hailed hopefully. There was no response. The Hoddesdon farm lay drenched in a torpid lethargy for which it was obvious more than the July heat must be responsible. Within the house, no one stirred. On the surrounding fields, no one was abroad. Even the usual sounds of the farm animals were hushed. Funk was unpleasantly affected. Surely the entire household had not gone to meet his train and somehow missed it. He carried his traps to the stoop, crossed the yard to the barnyard, and helloed again. He knew of old where Barclay's studio was, so he set off down the path toward the grateful shade of the woods. The gray stone walls of the old building soon glinted through the tree trunks and heavy foliage. A strong conviction possessed Funk that Barclay was not within. In fact, he found the studio door padlocked. He noted that the west window was rudely boarded up. He walked around the studio to the north. Here the trees had been cut down, and the studio wall was entirely of glass. He peered in with deepening curiosity, but apart from the usual litter of easels, painting paraphernalia and accessories, canvases and serried rows against the walls, his attention was almost immediately drawn to a painting propped against the south wall where the full light from the opposite windows poured in revealingly. "Rum go?" Funk muttered, puzzled. That never is Barclay's work, and he would never have let a student perpetrate such a monstrosity of line and crude color. He pressed his face to the glass, cupping it against the outside light. "That old man," Funk said aloud, amazed, "may be crudely done, but he's also absolutely horrible. His hands, ugh, they're dead hands, bloodless, waxen, ugh." Something about the way he's sitting there, drooping as if he hadn't the strength of himself to sit erect, and was being held by something without, that you can't see. "I don't like the thing. It's ugly. There's something wrong with it." He said this last with conviction, and as he exclaimed, became aware of another gaze fixed upon himself. He snapped upright and wheeled quickly, waiting patiently for him to finish his examination of the studio's interior. Stood a man in patched, stained blue overalls. "Well," snapped Funk sharply, a bit taken aback. "Mr. Barclay's at the house, sir. You're Mr. Funk? I'm Mulcahy, Hoddesdon's hired man." Funk nodded. "All right, I'm coming. How did Mr. Barclay come to miss my train?" "We was all down to the police station, sir." Mulcahy fell in behind him. "Police station?" echoed Funk. "What's been going on here?" "I found Mr. Oakey dead in the studio this morning, sir." "What?" Funk whirled and confronted the Irishman. "There's something wrong in there, sir. I saw blood on the old devil's beard." The man's voice quivered. "Snap out of it, Mulcahy. Are you referring to that picture?"
"I am that, sir."
"Blood on the old man's beard? Ridiculous. I saw none." Mulcahy insisted stubbornly. "Blood it was, sir. And the poor young man was all drained out of him, sir."
"Ooh. So the painting's alive and it comes alive and it kills things. People, specifically."
"Well, I don't know. Give it a raccoon. See if it likes it."
"I don't know. Maybe if it was desperate and stuck in an attic for a century."
"Or do you have raccoons in your attic?"
"No, thankfully. I don't have an attic." "Go on."
Funk stiffened to deep attention. "Ha! This sounds intriguing. Blood on the old man's beard and dripping from his dead fingers, sir. And not one drop left in the corpse, sir. Blood all over the domed old devil's whiskers and his dead fingers, sir. Mary Mother." Mulcahy crossed himself with pious haste. "Who did that painting?" Funk demanded, turning again toward the house.
"A man by the name of Silva, sir. He's after being a cabinet maker, but he got to thinking he could paint. So he made that beauty back there. Devil fly away with him."
"He sure can paint," muttered Funk cryptically. "He's mixing something with his paint that only devils from the pit can give him," the Irishman declared darkly. He hesitated, then rushed on. "Sir, the night before the poor lad was murdered, there was a fine canvas of Mr. Barclay's cut into ribbons, and Mr. Oakey's prize picture the same. What might that mean? Along with the poor lads being killed the next night, and Silva only getting honorable mention last week, where he was looking for first prize."
"Looks as if Silva had a motive," declared Funk as they walked into the barnyard.
Life was stirring normally about the farm now, as if a ban of enchanted silence had been lifted. Funk could see Barclay's bulky body leaning over the Vasilisk on the front stoop. He hailed his friend, then asked Mulcahy hastily, "What do the police say?"
"Any of us might have done it, sir, but the studio was locked from the inside, and there's no motive. And they can't figure where the poor lad's blood went, sir."
Back of the simple words pushed a dark significance of terrible things.
"Looks as if there was more here than appears on the surface."
"Right you are, sir. From now on, Tom Mulcahy wears a blessed medal next to his hide, day and night."
Funk met Barclay's welcoming hand with a heartening grip. "Sorry to have missed you, Funk, but this ghastly tragedy has dislocated all plans. I was fond of the boy."
"He," groaned Barclay, his face working.
"He had a gift, hadn't Harry? I was looking forward to what he would do with color in that not far future, and now..." His voice broke.
"Where's my room, Barclay?" Funk gathered up his bags and followed the other painter up the front stairs.
"I mean, just the pinnacle of compassion."
"Oh, that's what I was thinking. What grace, what tragedy, where's my room?"
"Right.
Snap to it.
Hup, hup. We don't have time for this nonsense."
"Yeah. Didn't even, finish letting him say what he wanted to say about the kid." "Yeah. Whatever."
Both men lighted cigarettes in silence. Barclay stared abstractedly from the window, while Funk unpacked rapidly, puffing clouds of smoke about himself as he tossed shirts, underwear, ties into the open bureau drawers. "I want to know how Silva's painting got into your studio," he said at last, with an air of relief as he finished his work.
"So are you taking that attitude?" Barclay asked, his eyes heavy.
Funk did not attempt to evade the implied issue. Anybody but a crass, materialistic jackass would," he responded quietly.
"I didn't know you went in for that sort of thing. I've no time for anything but painting. Just making a living takes most of my time these days, Funk."
The younger man's eyes snapped. "A very little suffices for me. I'm too fascinated with studying the truths underlying the illusions of material existence, now that I've gotten very far, but what I know, I know."
"Then perhaps you can say what's unnatural about poor Harry's death. I know there's something wrong about it."
"Something wrong?" echoed the younger man thoughtfully. "Yeah, there's something wrong and uncanny about this lad's death. As it's being unnatural, there are many strange and little-known laws operating along lines so new to us.
He broke off there, his expression clearing as if an illuminating idea had suddenly clarified the situation for him. I believe the poor chap's death is due to an extremely interesting example of the transference of an evil will to power. Barclay wheeled from the window, saying abruptly, I didn't tell the police what I felt lay behind this tragedy. I have no hankering to live in an insane asylum. Now, I have a faint hope that you may be able to appreciate the strangeness of my experience. Listen.
Because he sounds like such a man that would be willing to listen to somebody else's spooky ramblings.
Well, he kind of does.
Does he?
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that's bringing up the, you know, transference of evil will.
That's true. Okay. Maybe he's into it for more than just gossip.
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like he was summoned for more than just painting.
It does seem that way, yeah.
Yeah. Manuel Silva settled here a few years ago and has been doing well as a cabinet maker. Recently, he learned that I got from $300 up for a canvas. He thought this an easy way to get rich, but I refused to teach him. You know, I never take any but advanced students of decided promise. My refusal roused Silva's furious resentment. I have instituted an annual art exhibit in town. Silva entered 3 canvases to force my hand. They were rather terrible. One was a blacksmith, dark, sullen, sinister. He was hammering viciously at what appeared to be a battered crucifix. Another was a farmer slaughtering a wretched hog that somehow looked like a naked man. The butcher's face wore a too realistic grin of sadistic enjoyment as he wielded his bloody knife. The third was the painting you've just seen in my studio. Harry's entry took first prize. This was inevitable. I felt inclined to encourage a couple of young local artists, so I gave them an honorable mention. Not to slight Silva's pride, I included him. The night before the canvases were removed, Harry and I were in the gallery, and he pointed out that someone had deliberately cut the honorable mention ribbon on Silva's canvas so that it hung in dangling strips. Odd that, huh? Your opening vistas, replied Funk, lighting another cigarette from the one he had been smoking. You are absorbingly interesting. I criticized Silva's painting, observing that Harry was right when he said it gave him the jitters, but that in just that degree it possessed a touch of wild genius. Harry pronounced it ghastly. To paint a hunched-up old man as dead as a doornail, his hands frightful, decomposing, yet sitting up there. Ugh. Silva's colors were crude, his drawing distorted, just how it would be difficult to say, but wrong, you understand? Wrong. I said I dared not encourage Silva because of a very strange quality in his work. That's something wrong. And then we both nearly jumped out of our skins, for in the dusk behind us, someone broke into an ugly chuckle, and we turned to see a dark figure slouching out. It was Silva, and I realized that he'd heard me pronounce him an evil genius. Harry made light of my compunctions, but I was disturbed. We confronted the old man in the painting once more.
Yeah, I would be disturbed too. What is he doing there?
Well, he's probably just checking on his painting, but then he started eavesdropping.
Yeah, whatever.
We confronted the old man in the painting once more. As twilight gained the room, a murky dusk seemed to creep into the very canvas. Shadows deepened. The old man merged into his dark background, all but his pallid face, his grayish beard, the waxen fingers dropping over his angular knees. It was wrong, entirely wrong. And then all at once, Harry twitched my sleeve and exclaimed, "Let's get out of here." And as we turned and plunged into the street, stricken by some subtle panic, so obsessing that it was not until we were back at the Hodgson's farm that we realized how foolish and unreasonable had been our flight. Funk lighted another cigarette. We went sketching next day, Barclay went on, and Hodgson brought our canvases back to the studio. That night, he told me that Silva had sent me one of his for a gift. So Harry and I went down to see which one. We lighted candles, and really, we got a nasty shock. The flickering, inadequate candlelight made that old man appear more than ever an entity with a horrid existence independent of his painted presentment. Harry said, "My God," in a kind of comic dismay. I knew instinctively that Silva was up to no good. He bore me malice. His very gift seemed to convey dire menace. In the pale candlelight, the old man's beard appeared to rustle stiffly, as if his lips were parting under its bushy shelter. Of course, I could not see anything, but I felt that I was seeing a pale, dead tongue flick moisture over dry, dead lips. Ugh. That must have been an odd sensation, conjugated. There you go. That must have been an odd sensation, conjugated Funk aloud, as he expelled a thick cloud of smoke. You make it very clear. Yeah? Well, there's more of it. Okay. And I went over our canvases to check on their return in good condition. We were satisfied. Just remember this point, will you? We padlocked the studio door and went off to bed. When we went in the next morning, the padlock was undisturbed and all the windows locked on the inside. But one of my best canvases had been slit into ribbons, and Harry's, which had taken first prize, was completely demolished. Even the frame. That last act of vandalism made me feel bad. I'd been sure the boy could cash in on his work, and he needed the money. He took it all like a Spartan, but he told me he was going to sleep in the studio that night, for he felt sure that Silva had done the damage. I agreed, although I couldn't figure out how Silva could have got inside. So last night, I left the boy there. He said he was going to hang something over the old man. Gosh, that man's awful face. I offered to stay with him, but he wouldn't have it. This morning, Barclay broke down, turning back to the window with a suspicious gulp. Mulcahy told me, Funk hastened to say, lighting another cigarette. It was ghastly, Funk. Mulcahy was howling blood at every jump he took. Blood, he yelled, on the old man's beard. How about the coroner? Harry'd been dead for hours. Finger marks on his throat. Every drop of blood drained from his body. Barclay said with slow emphasis, Mulcahy had seen him through the north windows. I had to break the west window to get in. The coroner said at first that he'd had a fit, but finally decided he'd been killed by a person unknown. About the blood? Queried Funk. Mulcahy was right about it. I saw it, too. It's not there now, Funk declared. Barclay nodded. That's another strange thing. When I rushed over, I found poor Harry sprawling on the floor, his body all twisted in a grotesque, gruesome position, so terribly white. As I threw myself on the floor beside him, something struck upon my inner ear. It was a sound, but such a sound. Even as I heard it, I knew I was hearing what could not be apprehended physically. I sprang to my feet and confronted Silva's hideous canvas. God, it was horrible. He shuddered at the bare recollection. The painted old man sat there motionless, but it was a sinister restraint, Funk. I stared, stricken by a horror that affected me with nausea, for I saw then that someone had smeared that ancient's deathly pallor with crimson that crawled down the painted gray beard. The dead hands that hung over the angular knees were dripping, every pallid fingertip with blood. Blood, Funk. How do you know it was blood? Funk demanded sharply. I touched it, whispered the old man distastefully. And then, Funk prompted, not ungently, a ghastly thing came to pass. I did not see it. I felt rather than saw. I became aware with that inner sense of the movement of one of the old man's painted arms. It lifted with the jerking unevenness of an automaton and passed across a stained gray beard. I say, it moved. I felt it move, yet at the same time, I was aware that it was only painted, hence incapable of movement. It was a something else behind it that actually moved. I find it almost impossible to clarify my intuitions, Barclay deprecated despairingly, other than to say that while the painting figure did not stir, I was yet inwardly aware that it lifted one arm and wiped away the crimson from its beard. Then it reached out on either side to drag off that horrible drip from its waxen fingertips against the painted grass that reddened under them. God, it was more than horrible because although the figure did not show movement to my straining eyes, yet I saw the crimson lifeblood of poor Harry disappearing from the canvas as those movements which I felt took place. Of course, this explanation is inadequate, he finished. Funk pushed the consumed tip of his cigarette to the fresh one he was holding between his thin lips. A cloud of blue smoke enveloped him, out of which his voice pronounced decidedly, "Not inadequate, my dear fellow. On the contrary, it is very enlightening, so clear that I believe we may yet punish the murderer of that poor lad." Barclay's dreamy eyes burned with sudden fire. "I'd give a year of my life to accomplish that," he exclaimed fiercely. I hardly think so much will be required, but you may have to sacrifice one or two of your canvases. We'd better get the rest of Oki's work over here, and Silva must learn that you are taking steps to protect Harry's work and your own. He must be informed of that tomorrow night. You yourself will sleep in the studio. That'll bring him, Funk predicted darkly. You agree that it's Silva? Cried Barclay in relief. I've no doubt of it, but not in propria persona. He's projecting his astral body through that hideous old man, and he's already made a grave error. What do you mean? He's permitted himself to savor human blood. Hence, he cannot be permitted to continue. He's dangerous now. He will be yet more so unless checked. I propose to do this in the only permanent way possible. We have no proof of his presence in the studio, Funk. Who would believe the tangible evidence of my experience? No one, ordinarily, Funk agreed, adding quickly, but I believe. And there is another person who will not only believe, but will furnish me with the means of putting a stop to Silva's murderous proclivity.
See, this is the kind of friend that you just need in your life at all times.
The one that's going to immediately believe you.
Yeah, you're like, I'm pretty sure that painting killed the dude. And he's like, yeah, it totally did. And we're going to prove it and kill him.
Yes, I love it.
Like, no questions asked. Nope. Qualms. It's just like, yep, let's go. I love it.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be wise to return that picture to Silva or cut it to bits and burn it? Suggested Barclay uneasily. Later, said Funk queerly. You see, Silva has somehow learned how to transfer his will for evil to that creature of his own making. It is through that same creation that we must reach him and stop his criminal career before it's too late. Barclay sighed. You speak as if you know what we're talking about, Funk. I can't just understand you, but I feel that you are somehow right. What do you wish done?
Get Mulcahy, or Hodgson, to clear out all of Oki's canvases. Leave only a couple of your own that you don't particularly care about, so as not to stir Silva's suspicions overly. He'll imagine you're exhibiting. Then have Hodgson step in and tell Silva what happened to the canvases in the studio and ask him to have his moved out of harm's way. That will appear a kindly impulse on your part, and he will reply that he'll send for his canvas in a couple of days. He'll figure on polishing you off by then, finished Funk callously. Agreeable thought that, sighed the older painter. Now, you're going to lend me your roadster. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon at the latest, but be sure Silva is given to understand that tomorrow night you'll be sleeping in the studio. Under no circumstances, however, venture in there tonight, Funk warned gravely. Tonight, Silva, or whatever wakens in the studio under the stimulus of his evil purpose, may have free play. But tomorrow night, I shall be there, not you. No, I won't permit you getting into a nasty situation, Funk. This isn't your affair. After all, Harry was my protege. It's up to me. Are you prepared to give effective battle to a painted demon, Barclay? Funk's laugh was incredulous. Can you, through that painted thing, silence forever the intangible, distant malefactor? You can do such things, said Barclay's hushed murmur. I shall know how to before I return tomorrow afternoon. But how? I'm going to someone who knows. I shall demand the secret. She will yield it. I am certain. I'm going to see Gwyn Caradorn. Where have I heard that name? Puzzled Barclay. Possibly in connection with her published brochures. Her reality of the abstract is fairly well known. It's discussed everywhere. Quite likely, sighed Barclay. I seem to remember it vaguely. Now, pursued Frank briskly, how about your car? It was dusk when Funk returned on the following day. The seriousness and abstraction that wove a cloak about him struck Barclay's curious inquiries into silence. A certain high air about the younger artist forbade imperiously any break upon the lofty mood. Funk's first query was, had Silva been dutifully informed of the occupation of the studio that night? He knows, he told Hodgson, that he would call for his unappreciated masterpiece in a couple of days. The words were significantly emphasized. I rather fancied he'd say that. He knows you'll be there tonight. Hodgson told him, if there were any further trouble, I'd sleep there from tonight on to protect his painting. Excellent. Funk rubbed his hands together and blew a cloud of thick smoke from the cigarette in one corner of his mouth. And was there any? Yes. Last night, the two canvases I'd left were demolished. Good. He'll be expecting you to sleep there tonight. Let's have supper. Then I'll run into town and fetch Miss Caradorn. She insists upon coming out. The time was too brief to prepare me to handle the situation single-handed. That's extraordinarily kind of her, Funk, but if she is to be at the studio tonight, why not I? Barclay insisted. She would have handled it alone, only that she... Funk broke off suddenly, looking apologetic. Sorry, I can't be more explicit, but she bans discussion of herself unless she decides to come out into the open, which she rarely does. She's, well, wait until you meet her, if she permits it. Funk broke off in a kind of embarrassment. You'll understand then, but believe me, she's worthy of the highest respect and admiration a human being could expect. All right, we're going to stop there with the preamble of this superstar, because I'm looking at this, and even though it said it was going to take me 17 minutes to read it, it's obviously taking me more than 17 minutes.
Apparently, I was kind of wondering. So we lied when we said it was going to be a one-parter.
I'm so sorry, you guys, I failed.
It's okay, because season two is going to be full of one-parters, so it's probably fun getting the multi-parters in season one.
Yeah, probably, sure, whatever. Probably not.
I'm sure it's fine for our listeners. They keep coming back for a reason, so.
Yeah, because I keep leaving them on cliffhangers, and they want to know part two.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I really don't mean to.
Is this a tactic?
No, it's not. Just Google it. I already told you what it's called.
You just pointed it out.
Yeah, I feel awful.
Okay, don't feel awful. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for tuning in once again. Kevin, do you want to do your PSA?
Yeah, please, guys, whatever you are dealing with in your day-to-day lives, the challenges that you're facing, even if it feels like you're not being incredibly successful right now in this time, know that you are just, you're contagiously beautiful. You are courageous. You are the hero of your own narrative, and you are the master of your universe. Okay? Go out there and just crush your goals and be the legend that you know that you are. Okay? You got this.
Awesome. You do got this. Thanks so much, guys. And real quick, just want to shout out, we have a new Patreon member, Nathan. Thank you so much for subscribing and supporting us. It means a lot that you're here, that you're enjoying the lessons, and I hope that you enjoy our subscriber episode and our limited edition launch sticker. Anybody else is interested in going to Patreon, patreon.com/nightmarelane, and you guys want to subscribe and get our limited edition sticker, please come join us. You get quarterly Q&As, quarterly stickers, 2 subscriber episodes that are ad-free a month. It's a really fun thing that we're trying to do. So come on down and take a peek.
And Marie, don't think that we forgot about you. We love you. We appreciate all of your support.
All right. Thanks, guys. And stay spooky.
Ooh. Hey, host. How are you doing?
Hey, Kevin. I'm feeling a little bubble tea-esque.
Ooh. Well, on your way to go get bubble tea, have you heard that we're on a new listener platform?
What? We're on a new platform?
Yeah, it's called Newsly. It's an audio app for both iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics in the web at any given moment, and it reads it to you in a natural human voice.
Natural? Wow. So not the creepy robotic monsters we normally get?
Correct. So for the first time in the history of the internet, the entire web becomes listenable in a not creepy robot voice.
That's incredible and really accessible. It might mean that I could find some articles on bubble tea and give it a listen.
Absolutely. You can browse any articles from topics you choose and start playing immediately. You could do like sports, science, Bitcoin, Kardashians, or bubble tea, and you can follow any topic as specific as you like.
Incredible. And we're on this platform?
Yeah, they have podcasts as well, exploring trending podcasts from over 50 countries, and Nightmare Lane is one of them.
Wow, 50 countries? That's almost a third of the world's population. Did you know there's 159 countries in the world?
I did not. I feel like I should have known that, actually.
Maybe it's something we could discover on Newsly.
Probably. And if you download and use Newsly now for free, you can download it on www.newsly.me, or use the link in the description. And if you use promo code PODCASTLANE, you get 1 month of free premium subscription.
We have a promo?
We do. Isn't that cool?
Incredible. So if I download this now and I use Podcast Lane, I get a whole month free?
Yes, it is incredible.
That's really cool.
So download Newsly and listen to Nightmare Lane on your way to go get some bubble tea.
Incredible.
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 Okay, I'm done.
Incredible. Incredible. Incredible.